You're listening to Good Timing with me, Isabel Hagen. Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of Good Timing. Hope you're doing well. Today is a special episode. It is the first episode I am attempting to do solo. So if you were a fan of the intros, this is going to be all intro. No guest today. Did I run out of people to interview? Who's to say? I'm not going to say if I did or not. I just wanted to, you know, do a solo podcast. I wanted to take a risk. I'm taking an artistic risk with this podcast. It's very important as a creative person to take risks. That's what people say. They say you got to take risks. I think it's funny that creative people use that word risk, because I'm in my bedroom right now. How much of a risk am I taking, really? I mean, I think a risk is skydiving. That's a risk. It's a real risk. Would you ever skydive? I don't think I would. I can hear my neighbors talking through the wall. Can they hear me? Probably. You're welcome, apartment 6F. I did 2 live in-person shows yesterday. They were both outside. One was at a like cafe type place, and we were basically performing for just a table of people having brunch as they were eating. And it was one of those things. Apparently they were expecting a comedy show. A lot of times we do performances where the people aren't even expecting a show, and then we're just like yelling jokes at them. This one, they were apparently expecting it, although they didn't really seem to know what they signed up for. They seemed very confused by me talking at them into a microphone. It was one of those experiences that you got to sort of shake off. You just feel kind of embarrassed after, because you're just like, all right, well, they probably all felt sorry for me because they don't know that I regularly humiliate myself. I'm totally used to that kind of humiliation at this point. But they don't know that. They think I'm just, you know, a gal trying to, I don't know what. Anyway, I did a second show. That was so fun. That was on a rooftop. That was for a very excited, small, little crowd on a roof in Bushwick. And it just felt so good to feel so good to have that in-person response again. You know, it's something I forgot was so important in terms of figuring out my jokes, because I had tried to write stuff during the pandemic and then tried it over Zoom or whatever. And it just, I couldn't figure out the jokes because I wasn't getting like the immediate laugh rhythm for when stuff did work. And now that I've just been doing a few in-person shows, I'm finally like, oh, this is how the bit will go. And it's a relief, because I kind of started losing faith in my joke writing ability over the pandemic. Like I knew that it was going to take until I was back in person, but there's also a part of you that's just like, but why am I not doing better over Zoom? Why am I not like killing over Zoom? And it's because you can't really kill over Zoom. Maybe you can occasionally. But also then it's weird, because what works over Zoom is like different than what works in person, because it's like a different kind of response and rhythm. So anyway, the point is, I'm very grateful to be performing live again, even in these sort of weird setups. Although I talked to other comics on the show, and we joke about like even before the pandemic, we often went and performed for like 4 people in some bar where no one wanted to hear us anyway. Like, this isn't really that different from a lot of the shows we used to do. It's good to do these weird, difficult shows, because it toughens you up. It helps with, dealing with performance anxiety. And I want to do a little more of a deep dive into performance anxiety today. Now, in general, I just have a really high level of adrenaline, it seems. And I've read that that can be a symptom of being what they call a highly sensitive person, which I definitely am. I'm a highly sensitive person. I don't like telling people I'm a highly sensitive person because it simultaneously sounds like I'm a pussy and like I think I'm better than everyone else, you know? Like, oh, can you turn the music down? Because I'm like highly sensitive, but also like I can like actually hear more than you do. Like it just affects me more intensely. So it's kind of a lose-lose with telling people. But it is a real thing that people struggle with. And I definitely qualify, you know, like I get really easily startled by loud noises. I often need to take breaks from social interactions and like sit in a quiet room. And when I was little, I was doing this without realizing it. I was sort of separating myself from social situations at like birthday parties. I would sort of retreat into a corner for a while. And now that I think back, it's like, oh, I just like needed a break. Like it was just, I was overstimulated by like a normal children's birthday party. Anyway, so I have this high level of adrenaline, and so it makes me very prone to the physical manifestation of performance anxiety. So, you know, the anxiety obviously is, originally it comes from a mental thing. It's mental. You're nervous or that you're going to mess up, or you're excited. Both those things can cause this adrenaline response. And for me, the physical response is really intense, and it makes my heart race really, really, really quickly. And in turn, makes my hands shake a little bit. And now when I'm playing viola, that's a nightmare because it's so exact and precise what I have to do when I'm playing music on the viola. And to get a good sound, it's such a delicate balance that if I'm shaking, everything kind of goes to shit. Sometimes I take beta blockers. If I know that there's something really important now, I might just take a beta blocker because it just slows down your heart rate. And I think if that helps you, why not? Why, it's available. It's totally safe. It doesn't make you better at your instrument. It literally just slows down your heart rate. So if that's your problem, if that's the manifestation of your particular anxiety, why not just take it? But, you know, I also don't like having to take it. It bothers me just on a personal level, but that's my own issue. So when I've thought about these certain times when I've been really nervous, and if I'm able to, let's say I didn't take the beta blocker and my heart is racing and I'm in the performance, I'm playing, my bow is shaking, what can I do? Occasionally, I am able to say to myself, like, okay, relax your right shoulder, because my bow is in my right hand. If I can relax my right shoulder, then I can let gravity keep my bow more weighted into the string and not shake. It's kind of reverse from what you might think. You might think you want it to, if you're a string player, you've dealt with this. So you don't want to press into the string with your bow hand, because if you press, it'll get scratchy. You won't get that clear, beautiful tone. What you want is to have your arm be really relaxed so that the gravity can do the work and let your bow kind of just be drawn onto the string in a very smooth way. That's how you get a really beautiful tone on a string instrument. It's also how you don't have your arm shake, because if you're clenching, then that's when the tremors might start. So sometimes I'm able to, in a performance, say in my head, like, right arm relax, right shoulder relax, and then I can sort of breathe through the shakes, and that can help. Sometimes I'm able to do that. Sometimes it's so bad that I just can't even release. And I was wondering, what are the differences when I've been able to release and when I haven't been able to? And I think the difference is my level of focus when it really comes down to it. And that was an interesting realization for me, because that also helped me solve this weird thing I've been thinking about, where sometimes it's these lower stakes performances that I get more nervous in than, say, like a big audition for something really important or a competition. It's like these random performances where I would not even expect to get nervous that all of a sudden I'm completely non-functional pretty much as a violist. And I think what that is if I'm doing something that's not high stakes, I'm going to be less focused going into it. I'm just going to be like, okay, here I am. I'm going to do this thing. These people will probably be impressed and great. But I don't have the focus. So then when it's too late and I'm shaking because I'm still excited to be performing, I don't have that energy and that focus in the moment to say, you got to relax, relax. I have a good example of this. So when I was maybe a fourth year at Juilliard, I forget what year, I had a string quartet. And we were asked by a teacher in the drama department to come play for a drama class. So there were the actors, I guess, take a class like music for actors or musicianship. I don't know what it was, part of their curriculum. And the teacher thought it would be nice to have a string quartet come in and actually play for the actors, maybe to see how we communicated, or maybe they were studying like the piece we were playing. I forget what the real reason was, but anyway, we were coming in to basically do like a demonstration for the drama students or for some of the drama students at Juilliard. Now, it's a casual performance. We're playing in a classroom for fellow students. You know, there's no stakes. This doesn't need to go particularly well. I wasn't thinking about it beforehand. I was just excited to play for the drama students and seemed like a fun thing to do. I also, you know, was kind of hoping that they would be really impressed by me and by my quartet because they don't play music. So maybe they'd be like, wow, you know, like look at them. And you know, the drama people, they're like the hottest people in school. They're the coolest one. Well, the dancers were probably the hottest. Who knows? They're all hot. But anyway, you know, you want to impress the actors. They're like the cool kids of the school. And so subconsciously, I'm getting really excited to play for them. And like I said before, excitement, nerves, same physical manifestation. So the heart races. So we get to the class, me and my quartet. We set up. We start playing and my bow is just, I can barely keep it on the string. My arm is shaking so much. And I remember my really good friend on cello even kind of was like laughing at me. I remember looking at her because she and I were really close. She knew I dealt with these performance anxiety attacks in like weird situations. So I remember her just being like, geez, Isabel, like here now? And you know, I don't resent her for laughing. I was probably laughing too. Like, ugh, I don't know what the fuck. But I couldn't focus enough to stop the shaking because I was already too scattered going into it. I was already just thinking about a million different things and okay, this is what we're doing right now. We're playing for these actors. And so then the anxiety hits and I can't even rein it in. Luckily, this particular performance, I'm a violist in a group of four musicians. So I don't think anyone outside of my quartet noticed my shaky bow. Hopefully, maybe they did. That's the other thing, you know, a lot of the stuff that I talk about, it's so big to me as the performer and just might not even be something that the audience is picking up on. But that's sort of another topic. And so in contrast to that, you know, awful performance for the drama students, which who knows what they thought, but it did not go well from my standpoint. There have been times where I didn't take a beta blocker and had a competition for something that I really, really cared about. And where I was able to, in a snap moment, just say like, nope, to my arm shaking, just like, nope, you are not shaking, because I was already in that super hyper-focused mindset of like, this is something that needs to go well. I'm not thinking, oh, they're going to be really impressed, like I'm such a hotshot. No, like the judges are expecting me to play well already if I'm doing this competition. So I'm just trying to do like, really do my best performance. And so that's why I think sometimes I'll find myself super nervous to play at like a nursing home and yeah, not that nervous for like a big audition. Of course, I've gotten nervous in all different types of situations and it's a bit unpredictable, but doing comedy has helped me get a handle on it a little. And I think the most beneficial part of doing comedy with performance anxiety is that I know that no matter how nervous I am in comedy, it's not going to mess me up because, and I've said this before, if you listen to the podcast, my hands shaking won't keep me from telling a joke. In fact, I even kind of lean into that shaky character on stage and it kind of is my persona. So I completely and fully embrace the nerves as a comedian. But also, because I'm not afraid of the nerves, because I know it won't hurt me no matter how nervous I get. Ironically, I get less nervous because I'm not afraid of being afraid. So that's been helpful with viola because I've sort of told myself, okay, well, what if I'm not afraid of these nerves? Like, yeah, maybe my bow will shake, but I know that if I'm not afraid to get nervous, I won't get nervous. Now, of course, that's one of those things where then the desire for the result that comes from not being afraid of my nerves sort of screws up the whole thought pattern, because the goal is to really let go and not care. Well, the reason I want to let go and not care is so that I play well. So it's kind of hard to separate those two things. And I think that's something that comes from just, you know, a lot of mindfulness and practice. Like anything, it takes practice. You can't just will yourself into something. And I think the mental stuff, we always tend to forget how much practice that takes, because something physical, we just know how hard executing something physical is. We know we need to practice it because it's like a hard physical thing. Like, oh, I need to learn the notes, or I need to get really strong so I can do this athletic, whatever it is you're doing. But mental, we kind of just assume we can will ourselves into certain thoughts whenever we need to, or at least I do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you think thoughts are hard to have as well. But for me, there are certain thoughts I'm just like, okay, well, I'll just tell myself not to be nervous when it's time to not be nervous, or I'll just tell myself not to care. Obviously, that is so much easier said than done. And what has happened is I've thought I could just will myself into these certain thoughts. Obviously, and then I try to in the moment, it doesn't work, and then I completely lose faith. Rather than saying, okay, well, what if I practice willing myself into those thoughts? What if every day I meditate and focus on relaxing my body and being able to sort of build up the ability to just do that when I need to? And no matter how many times I'm reminded that mental practice is just as important as physical practice, I always forget it again. I always need to be reminded. And part of that's just laziness, you know? You're like, okay, yeah, but I'll be fine. I'll be able, because I feel relaxed right now, so why should I think I'm going to not be relaxed at the performance? But that's just, I've been reminded so many times that that's just not how it works. So that's my spiel on performance anxiety today. I hope that was helpful for you if you're someone who struggles with performance anxiety. And I want to talk a little bit more about the writing process and creativity. And I mentioned last podcast that I was writing a screenplay and this sort of enjoying being in this place of inspiration and exploration and just sort of letting the pieces come and not trying to sort of manage everything and write everything in order, just whatever piece of the thing that comes to me, I write that and then try to fill it in like a puzzle. It's really like a puzzle. And I also sometimes write like funny songs with my viola. And I recently got some ideas just messing around, like for some viola riffs, like some plucking things I like. And now I'm like, okay, well, I want to build a song around these plucking things. And I have just been trying and trying to like find an idea to write about. How to, you know, what do I want to make these, what's the song I want these plucking riffs to be in? And I don't have the ideas yet. But what I'm enjoying doing is every day taking out my viola and just playing the riffs and kind of just saying whatever and seeing if something comes. And I just have to have faith that if I keep sort of not pushing, I don't think pushing is the right word, because you don't want it to feel like you're like forcing something. But if I keep putting myself in the place to be inspired, if I keep taking out my instrument and doing something, I feel like I'm sort of clearing out the pathway for my inspiration to come through. And it's like when you're cleaning something, you know, it doesn't just like get clean all at once necessarily. Maybe you just sort of keep chipping away, keep chipping away. Wow, what a revolutionary idea, Isabel. God, okay. Basically what I'm saying is if you're feeling like you don't have inspiration right now, but you want to make something, just keep doing it badly. Keep trying. And I think it'll come. It comes. And it's not when we expect it. And that's kind of annoying, right? You're like, well, in closing, I hope this little mini solo episode was interesting for you. Maybe I'll do more of these. Maybe every other week I'll do sort of a solo thing. Not sort of a solo thing. God. And I hope you just are having a wonderful week. And until next time, I don't have like a catchphrase for the end of my podcast. Andy Kindler asked me on another episode if I had a catchphrase. I don't know. Stay in it. Stay awake during the day if you can. I napped today and that was a huge mistake. Naps are the worst. They're the worst. Don't nap. It seems like a good idea in the moment and then you wake up from the nap and you are like, good God, is this the worst choice I ever made in my life, taking this nap? I think so. So if you can, stay awake during the day, unless you're sick and you really need to rest, then, you know, do what you got to do. Stay awake, stay in it, stay tuned for next week, and goodbye. Thank you for listening. For more, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, both at IsabelHagen_, and sign up for my mailing list at IsabelHagen.com. And as always, please rate and review the podcast. Thank you so much, and take care.